Good morning, and welcome to the Xerox Corporation third quarter 2016 earnings release conference call hosted by Ursula Burns, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer. She is joined by Leslie Barron, Vice President and Interim Chief Financial Officer. During this call, Xerox executives will refer to slides that are available on the web at www.xerox.com/investor. At the request of Xerox Corporation, today's conference call is being recorded. Other recording and/or rebroadcasting of this call are prohibited without the express permission of Xerox. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask your questions at that time, please press star one at any time during this call. You can withdraw your question by pressing the pound key. During this conference call, Xerox executives will make comments that contain forward-looking statements, which by their nature address matters that are in the future and are uncertain. Actual future financial results may be materially different than those expressed herein. At this time, I would like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Burns. Ms. Burns, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Xerox's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. At the beginning of the year, we committed to an ambitious agenda that included delivering on our financial goals for 2016 while creating a new path forward that will make our businesses more agile, focused, and competitive. I'm pleased to report that we are on track to meet all of these commitments and that we achieved solid financial results this quarter. Our third quarter EPS was within our guidance range. Cash flow generation was strong, and we realized solid margins in both segments despite a challenging global market environment. At the same time, our strategic transformation and separation activities have accelerated significantly. I want to emphasize that these actions are not just about delivering for the quarter or the year. Our strategic transformation program and separation are designed to fundamentally strengthen our businesses and align them closely with the demands of our clients and opportunities in the market. We're embedding productivity and cost efficiency into all areas of our business, which will benefit us for years to come. We're driving operational excellence and innovation to meet our clients' evolving needs. And we're establishing the new companies with talent, business strategies, and operating models that will enable them to become more profitable and drive growth over the long term. You will hear much more about these initiatives and the strategy, structures, and financial plans of the two post-separation companies at their investor event in December. But I'm pleased to have the leaders of our new companies, Jeff Jacobson and Ashok Vemuri, here with me today to answer questions about results in their respective businesses during the Q&A. Before we turn to financial results, let me share some highlights of our progress towards the separation. So with 2 months to go before we complete the separation, we've passed a number of major milestones in the process. The rating agencies released updates on Xerox's credit ratings, which will continue to be investment grade. Conduent Incorporated is expected to be a high non-investment grade rated company following the separation. These ratings are in line with our expectations. Upon completion of the spin, Conduent will be listed on the New York Stock Exchange, where Xerox will continue to trade. Additionally, we were excited to introduce Conduent's new logo and brand identity. Ashok selected Brian Walsh as the CFO of Conduent. Brian has 20 years of experience in Xerox's finance organization, spanning both operating and corporate roles, and he is currently the CFO of Xerox Services. He is a great fit for the role. And last week, we announced 7 of the 9 directors that will serve on Conduent's board, as well as Conduent's named executive officers. With that, the majority of Conduent's leadership team and board of directors is in place. We're in the process of filling the remaining 2 board seats and will make those announcements as they become available. All of this information about Conduent, along with updated information on its expected capitalization, pro forma financials, compensation plans, and governance, was included in several amendments to Conduent's Form 10 registration statement. For Xerox, Jeff is implementing a new, more streamlined operating model and has identified the operations leaders for the standalone company. building on our strong, well-established infrastructure and executive team. Jeff continues to focus on filling the remaining executive roles and strengthening the bench, including identifying the right, high-quality individual for the CFO role. In the interim, Leslie Varon continues to provide strong leadership to our finance organization and will remain in her current role until we have a new CFO in place. I should point out that beyond senior executive appointments, both Jeff and Ashok have put in place the necessary leadership teams for the major corporate functions. We are now just days away from what we call our soft separation phase. This involves separating our corporate functions, business infrastructure, and IT systems into discrete capabilities for each company. It's a test run at operating independently for the new companies that will help us ensure a smooth day one launch. In short, we're moving rapidly toward our separation and remain on schedule to complete it by year end. The benefits of our three-year strategic transformation program also continue to ramp across both businesses and can clearly be seen in our third quarter performance. We remain on track to deliver $700 million in annualized savings from productivity and cost initiatives this financial year. With that, I will move to our third quarter results. As I said, this was a good quarter. We delivered adjusted earnings of 27 cents per share, which was within our guidance range and in line with the same period last year. Total revenue of $4.2 billion showed a 3% decline year over year, or 4% on an adjusted constant currency basis, which excludes the 2015 charge related to our health enterprise strategy change. Operating margin was solid at 9.2%. We saw strong year-over-year margin expansions in our services segment, driven by gains across our BPO businesses, while document technology margins remained strong. Cash flow from operations was $370 million, reflecting a $99 million increase from prior year, and we ended the quarter with a cash balance of $1.4 billion as a result. Overall, our underlying results demonstrated ongoing progress in our productivity and cost savings initiatives and our ability to generate strong cash flows. In addition, we continued to innovate, deepen our client relationships, and extend our capabilities. Let me highlight a few of our achievements during the quarter. Starting with our services segment, which had a number of business wins and high-profile recognitions across the portfolio. We were honored to receive Outstanding Corporate Innovator Award from the Product Development and Management Association for automation, analytics, and personalization capabilities. Another notable recognition was by HFS, which named Xerox Healthcare to its winner's circle, the highest ranking in its report on business services for healthcare payers and providers. In the public sector, the state of Tennessee selected Xerox to provide EMV-enhanced benefit cards to over 120,000 citizens, receiving child support, unemployment compensation, and state pension payments. Our document outsourcing business secured a 10-year contract worth $110 million with the USDA for managed print services. We will be installing and supporting up to 16,000 Xerox Connect Key-enabled printers and multifunction devices at more than 3,000 USDA locations around the world. Document outsourcing was also recognized for its market-leading offerings by prominent industry analyst groups, including leadership positions in Coursera's MPS Market Landscape Report and IDC's MarketScape's Document Workflow Services Assessment. Now, turning to our document technology business, in September, we showcased our portfolio of the latest printing technologies, workflow solutions, and business development resources at Graph Expo 2016. This is North America's largest graphic arts trade show. We also brought a number of innovative products for small and mid-sized businesses to market as we continue to expand our offerings in this space. At the corporate level, I am proud to share that Xerox released its 2016 Global Citizenship Report, highlighting our approach to social responsibility. Our citizenship efforts continue to be widely recognized and during the quarter, we were named to the Dow Jones Sustainability World Index, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for North America, and Corporate Responsibility Magazine's 100 Best Corporate Citizens. I'll now turn it over to Leslie, who will provide more detail on our third quarter results and 2016 guidance.
Thanks, Ursula, and good morning, everyone. I'll start with the earnings slide and cover the rest of the financials as well as our guidance before handing it back to Ursula to wrap up. Our third quarter results reflect operational discipline and good progress in key areas that will set the foundation for the two companies post-separation. These include cost and productivity progress from our strategic transformation, resulting in broad-based margin improvement in BPO and solid margins in document technology. Overall services signings growth, as we renewed 86% in a quarter with high renewal opportunities, reflecting the continued confidence our customers have in us. Strong operating cash generation, reflective of the durability of our annuity-based business model. So while revenues in both businesses were a bit soft, we delivered overall good results in a somewhat volatile macro environment. Total revenue of $4.2 billion was down 3% at actual currency and down 4% on an adjusted constant currency basis, including 1 point of negative currency. I'll be discussing our results on an adjusted basis when making comparisons against the prior year, as the third quarter 2015 included the $389 million pre-tax charge, including a revenue reduction of $116 million related to our health enterprise strategy change. Adjusted gross margin of 31.3% was up 10 basis points year over year, driven by improvements in both segments, partially offset by a greater mix of services, which structurally has a lower gross margin. There was a modest negative transaction currency impact in quarter three, reflecting yen strength against the euro, pound, and U.S. dollar, partially mitigated by our hedging and currency risk sharing with Fuji Xerox. At current rates, we are expecting some additional pressure in quarter four. Adjusted RD&E was down $10 million year over year, and adjusted SAG was down $28 million, driven by productivity and cost initiatives, which were partially offset by higher expenses related to prior year compensation and benefits reductions. Overall flow-through from our strategic transformation actions resulted in good margins in both segments and a solid 9.2% total company operating margin. Adjusted other net expense was down $17 million year over year, driven by lower interest expense. Equity income of $39 million in the quarter was down slightly year over year. Our third quarter adjusted tax rate of 25.3% was 1.8 points below last year and just under our guidance range of 26 to 28%, reflecting the geographic mix of our profits. Bottom line, adjusted earnings of 27 cents was in the middle of our guidance range and flat year over year. Turning to services, we had another quarter of very good operating profit growth, up $33 million or 17% year over year, as significant margin improvement more than offset modest revenue declines. Services revenue was up 1% at actual currency, down 2% at constant currency and adjusting for the prior year health enterprise charge. Document outsourcing grew 1% year over year, with growth continuing to be driven by Xerox partner print services. BPO declined 4% on an adjusted basis, reflecting our continued focus on profitability, very modest inorganic contribution, as well as foregone revenue associated with the health enterprise strategy change. Within BPO, public sector revenue grew 3% as our transportation business continues to perform well and is benefiting from ramping new business, while commercial industries and healthcare declined, driven by headwinds as we prioritize profitability and therefore have stepped away from some unprofitable contracts. Total signings in the quarter were up 17% year over year, and are up 6% for the trailing 12 months. The increase in quarter three was driven by strong renewals, a reflection of both high renewal opportunity as well as a good renewal rate of 86%, confirming the value we provide our customers. Over the past year, we have renewed 8 of our 10 top BPO clients. New business signings have been lower over the past year as we have strengthened our signings criteria, setting the bar higher on price, margin, and deal terms. An important measure of our progress this year is services margin. This has been an area of intense focus, and the team delivered a quarter three margin of 9.4% at the high end of our 8 to 9.5% full year range. This strong performance reflects broad contribution across BPO, a result of both our strategic cost transformation initiatives and increased operating discipline by the team. And as we've said before, document outsourcing margin generally is in line with the document technology segment margin. So key takeaways on services are consistent with what we said in quarter two. While revenue was a bit soft, document outsourcing remains a good performer, and in BPO, we're making steady progress improving profitability. There's been a near-term trade-off between revenue growth and margin, but overall it has resulted in strong profit growth and will provide a solid foundation for our businesses as we prepare to separate. Document technology delivered strong margins in the face of ongoing revenue pressures within a tough market environment. Revenue was down 9% at actual currency and 7% at constant currency, with equipment down 13% and annuity down 5%. Annuity was an improvement from quarter two, driven by supplies. Within equipment, trends improved in both entry and high end, reflecting new product introductions, but mid-range lagged due to lower large account sales in the U.S. When we include document outsourcing with document technology, revenue declined 5% in the third quarter and is down 4% year to date. Overall, we continue to maintain our equipment revenue market share leadership. Turning to activity, we delivered good growth across all color activity segments with particular strength in high end, due in part to the recent Drupa trade show. Entry results benefited from better performance in developing markets, where we've lapped economic weakness in some geographies. Mid-range had a mixed quarter, with continued good growth from the iSeries products launched earlier this year, but weakness elsewhere. Document technology margin of 13.1% was quite strong, up 50 basis points sequentially, reflecting strategic transformation benefits, and was in the middle of our full-year range. Year over year, margin was down 80 basis points as gross margin improvements were not enough to offset a higher SAG ratio. The third quarter 2015 results included materially lower compensation and benefits expense, which we did not expect would repeat. Transaction currency in the quarter was a relatively modest 30 basis point headwind to margin, and at current rates could be about twice that level in quarter four. So overall for document technology, we continue to manage the impact of revenue declines through ongoing productivity actions, resulting in strong segment margins and cash generation. And as I wrap up on the segments, I'll repeat what I said last quarter. We will manage our strategic transformation focus, and we expect continued good profitability in both document technology and in services as we prepare to separate. Moving to cash flow. Operating cash generation of $370 million was strong, up $99 million year over year, and reflects the underlying cash generative profile of our business model. From a year over year perspective, good working capital performance and solid net income more than offset the impact of this year's unique health enterprise settlement and separation payments, which were $39 million and $21 million, respectively, in the quarter. we've generated $522 million of operating cash during the first three quarters of the year, with all 2016 health enterprise settlement payments now behind us. Therefore, we enter quarter four, our seasonally strongest cash flow quarter, well positioned to deliver on our guidance of $950 million to $1.2 billion for the full year. Investing cash flows were a use of $69 million and included $73 million spent on CapEx. Cash flow from financing was an $84 million use and includes $85 million for preferred and common stock dividends. Our cash balance at the end of the quarter was $1.4 billion and continues to provide us flexibility as we move into quarter four and prepare for separation. Turning to our capital structure and capital allocation, we ended quarter three with $7.4 billion of debt, a level we've been at all year. Applying 7-to-1 leverage to our customer financing assets, our allocated financing debt at the end of the quarter was $3.8 billion, leaving core debt at $3.6 billion. We continue to manage our capital structure to maintain credit metrics consistent with our investment-grade credit rating. On October 11, we filed an amendment to the Conduent Form 10 that included details of its anticipated post-separation capital structure. We indicated that Conduent expected to be capitalized with approximately $2.4 billion of debt and $400 million of cash, and to transfer $2.05 billion of proceeds to Xerox, which we intend to use to reduce Xerox debt. Consistent with our expectations, Xerox credit ratings remain investment grade, and we expect that the Conduent capital structure would result in a high non-investment grade rating. And to touch on capital allocation, we've paid $79 million in common stock dividends in quarter three. We completed a $13 million dealer acquisition earlier this month, consistent with our strategy to expand our U.S. global imaging business. And as we've said previously, as we prepare for our separation later this year, we're not planning to repurchase any shares. Before I move to guidance on the next slide, I want to mention that Conduent will be filing its third quarter results in the next few weeks. The Conduent carve-out financials will reflect margin improvement, although not to the same degree as the services segment, since Conduent results include the student loan business, which resides in our other segment. That business is in runoff and declined profit year over year as anticipated. I'll now share with you our fourth quarter and full year expectations. For quarter four, we expect adjusted earnings in the range of 32 to 35 cents and GAAP earnings of 11 to 14 cents. For the full year, we continue to expect total revenues to decline 2 to 4% at constant currency. We're narrowing our adjusted earnings guidance range to $1.11 to $1.14. which incorporates our fourth quarter expectations. In services, we expect full year revenue will be flat to down 1%, and margin will be at the very high end of the 8 to 9.5% range. We expect document technology revenues will be at the lower end of the full year range, and that margin will be in line with our 12 to 14% expectations. We expect full-year GAAP earnings of 45 to 48 cents. We continue to anticipate full-year restructuring of about $300 million, including approximately $70 million in the fourth quarter, and our estimate of pre-tax separation costs remains $175 to $200 million, and $40 million to $50 million in tax-related friction costs. Turning to cash flow, as I mentioned earlier, our year-to-date performance positions us well for the full year, and we are maintaining our expectations of $950 million to $1.2 billion for operating cash flow and $600 to $850 million for free cash flow. And finally, our capital allocation expectations remain largely unchanged, although we now expect to spend about $30 to $50 million on acquisitions. So, in summary, despite a somewhat challenging macro backdrop, we are on track and remain committed to delivering our overall revenue, earnings, and cash flow guidance. With that, Ursula, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Leslie. In summary, we are pleased with our results in the third quarter, which were in line with our expectation and driven by our ongoing operational and cost discipline. We are on track to deliver on all of our objectives for the year and establish two companies that will be well-positioned to drive shareholder value over the long term. Before we open the line for questions, I would like to note that today has particular significance for Xerox, as this will be our last earnings call as a combined entity. Next time we report earnings, we will be two separate companies, each on their own path to enhance value for our clients, employees, investors, and other stakeholders. I look forward to watching both Xerox and Conduent prosper in the future. We will now open up the line for questions. Jennifer?
Thanks, Ursula. Joining us today are Jeff Jacobson, head of our document technology business and CEO of New Xerox following separation, Ashok Vemuri, Chief Executive Officer, Xerox Business Services, and CEO of Conduent post-separation, and Brian Webb-Walsh, CFO, Xerox Services, who will be CFO of Conduent post-separation. Before we get to your questions, let me point out that we have several supplemental slides at the end of our deck which provide more financial detail to support today's presentation and complement our prepared remarks. For the Q&A, I would ask participants to limit follow-on and multi-part questions so we can get to everyone. At the end of our Q&A session, I will turn it back to Ursula for closing comments. Operator, please open the line for questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer queue is now open. You may dial star, then one to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of George Tong from Piper Jaffray. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. Good morning. Ashok, first of all, welcome to Xerox. Understanding more details will be provided at the upcoming Analyst Day. Ashok, can you provide or touch on what your top three strategic priorities are to improve growth and margin performance in the BPO business?
Yeah, sure, George. I think the focus for us continues to be to drive profitable growth. We have demonstrated a very strong margin performance. We continue to invest in the strategic transformation to turn the business so that we are invested and investing in areas that are our traditional strengths. We have certain areas where we would like to continue to drive a higher degree of transformation, especially customer care. But we're pleased with the progress that we have made on the margin front, and I think that will give us the momentum to be able to continue to drive the transformation that we seek in our business.
Very helpful. And the earnings release this quarter disclosed that work to implement the health enterprise platform in New York has been elongated and could result in material increases in future costs to complete. Can you help frame or quantify the potential cost overruns and comment on your desire to remain in the government healthcare business given some of the recent difficulties in ramping contracts in the segment?
Yeah, so, you know, we are working in a very collaborative fashion with the state. The good news is that we have learned sort of our lessons and have gained some experience based on our prior implementations. We're working closely with the state. We are making progress on the implementation. And given that these contracts and implementations are usually long tenor and have changing requirements and ups and downs, I think we are, given all of that, making very decent progress.
Great. Thanks very much.
George. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of Shannon Cross from Cross Research. Your line is open.
Thank you. I have two questions. The first is for Jeff. Just how do we think about what's going on in the underlying business, in the printing business? I mean, equipment was down 13% in doc tech. I think combined it was, I don't know what equipment was down, but overall the sort of printing business was down about 5% constant currency when you add in document outsourcing. So I'm just curious to sort of, you know, how you see the competitive landscape. The yen has obviously moved significantly. you know, your competitors in Japan are not reporting particularly good numbers. So what are you seeing out there as you sort of head into 17? And then I have a question for Ashok.
Sure, Shannon. Thanks very much. So first, you know, let me address it from a global market and macro standpoint. So the global market environment continues to be challenging. As you mentioned, Shannon, there are uncertainties with currencies fluctuating in the yen and the pound. Certainly, the uncertainty of the presidential election in the U.S., the Brexit adds a certain degree of uncertainty in the U.K. and Europe. But, you know, these complexities are obviously what we deal with all the time, and the important thing are the countermeasures. So, you know, what we're doing is we're very aggressive on the productivity measures to drive down our total delivered costs and enhance the operating margins. As you know, what we've done over the last couple of years has been pretty aggressive on productivity, and we're taking that to the next level. We're very focused on innovation and defending our market share, and we're focused on the growth areas. So specific to this quarter, you know, what I'd say, our revenue was in line and was stable in this challenging market environment. You're correct that we were pressured on the equipment side, and some of that was more in the high end in government bids due to these uncertainties. But we're also pleased with the annuity business driven by supplies, and we were also pleased on the high end. We saw the impact of Drupa, which will benefit us for the next couple of quarters. And then at the end of September, we obviously had Graph Expo in the U.S., and we think that'll benefit us. So overall, in line, good color installs, and pressure on more the mono side as we're moving more to color in the macro environment.
Great, thank you. And then, Ashok, can you talk a bit about how you think about the balance between revenue and margin? Because over the last few years, Xerox has sort of bounced between wanting a lot of revenue growth out of BPO, but then that's obviously an impact to margin depending on what you sign, versus, you know, at some time saying, no, we're going to focus more on margin, and therefore we saw revenue declines and impact to billings or bookings. So just sort of philosophically, how do you think about it? I know it's a balancing act, but what do you put more weight to? Thank you.
So Shannon, my philosophy on this is we need profitable growth. You know, revenue growth is important in order to demonstrate that the investments are in the right place and we are continuing to provide value to our clients. Margin is an indicator of two things for me. One is the value that our clients perceive that we are bringing to the table and are willing to pay for it. And secondly, it's a report card on management's ability to effectively and efficiently run a business. So both of these are important for the reasons I just described. And I think even though there is a certain degree of elasticity between them, it is important to manage that elasticity in a way that we see growth on both fronts.
Thanks, Shannon. Operator, next question.
Our next question comes from a line of Tien-Tsin Huang from J.P. Morgan Securities. Your line is open.
Hey, great. Thank you. Just wanted to dig in here just on the revenue coming in somewhat soft. I know the profitability came in nicely, but just, you know, how much of that do you think is macro versus your profitability focus versus maybe, I guess, distractions from this from the split of the spin? Can you maybe rank those?
We'll start on the services side with Ashok and then switch a little bit to the tech side with Jeff.
Okay. So I think what we have seen in terms of the margin improvement is clearly the flow through of all the strategic transformation activities that we've been doing. There's a higher degree of discipline that we have driven. We have balanced some of the revenue reduction because we are being much more selective in terms of the deals we are doing. Deal qualification has improved. The bars that we have put in terms of pricing and the kind of deals that we want to do, we've raised that. So margins, as I've said in answer to the previous question, is extremely important for us, but we need to balance that by also driving revenue growth.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from the tech standpoint, when you see the equipment revenue, that would tend to be impacted more by the uncertainties and the macro issues. You know, we're very fortunate from the standpoint that 75% of our business is annuity, which provides a strong foundation, strong base. We're also very fortunate that the vast majority of our contracts are bundled contracts with supplies, which provides stability for us. So, you know, what we're doing is we're not getting out ahead of our headlights. We're managing our cost and productivity very strongly, and we're looking for the opportunities of growth, certainly in document outsourcing, graphic communications, and in some underpenetrated markets for us, such as SMB.
Thanks, Tien-Tsin. Operator, next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nanda Barua from Breen Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks, guys. Congrats on the progress, and looking forward to talking to you guys going forward post the split. Really, my question right now, I have one. It's really for Jeff and maybe for Ursula on the Xerox side. As we think about where the opportunities for incremental efficiencies could be as you get post-split, and then as we think about where the opportunities for, I guess, increased velocity around decision-making could be post-split, how should we be thinking about it? What things have you guys learned about those opportunities so far? And understanding you probably don't have numbers to give us yet, I guess from a magnitude perspective, I guess from what context in terms of, like, how should we think about it in terms of potential to be impactful on the P&L? Like, what's the right context there as well? And that's it. Would love your thoughts there. Thanks.
Yeah, so sure, Nanda. Thanks very much. And certainly we'll cover a lot more of the details at the Investor Conference. But, you know, the way we look at it is this. If you look at the strategic transformation, we announced over a three-year period as a combined entity, about $2.4 billion, and we said that tech would be about two-thirds of that. So, you know, the linchpin to our strategy is driving that strategic transformation very hard. And the reason is this. In past years, basically, we've offset the headwinds of annuity, price erosion, and done just enough. What we want to do now is take this to a totally another level so that we can reinvest back in the business, bring some back down to the bottom line, and invest in some of the growth areas we see, certainly in document outsourcing, graphic communications, and being able to invest a little more into entry. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in Investor Day. In terms of the strategic transformation, we're driving it very hard. We're looking at things such as supply chain optimization, technical service excellence with remote call assist, remote connectivity, real estate optimization, how we can design our products with more efficiency, and then delayering and simplifying the organization. So, you know, we have a pretty detailed plan. We're tracking very well towards it, and we're pleased with where we are right now.
And I have that's really helpful, Jeff. I got just got a quick follow-up to that, if I could. Are those moves, the non-revenue moves, but the core organizational moves you talked to, are those incremental to business as usual Xerox? And if they're incremental to business as usual Xerox, would you favor the incremental op profit dollars to be dropped to the bottom line or invested back in the growth or both of those things? Thanks.
Yeah. So one of the things in our message is that there's no business as usual Xerox. So, you know, what we're going to do as we separate our company is we're going to take all the good things that we bring from Xerox, and there are a lot of great things, but we're going to be a much more simplified, delayered organization. And what we're going to do with the efficiencies we drive in taking strategic transformation to the next level, some will certainly drop to the bottom line, and some of it will be invested to improve the revenue trajectory.
Thanks, Ananda. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Brian Essex from Morgan Stanley. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking the question. Ashok, I was wondering if I could maybe, ask you about, the services performance. And, you know, now that you've been there for a little while and you're rolling up your sleeves, how much of the lower guidance is due to the greater degree of selectivity and contracts? And I notice the margins are now kind of pointed towards the high end. How much of the margin is due to your strategic transformation versus pricing?
Well, I think the margin improvements, Brian, are to a great extent driven by the efficiency that we are seeing. And remember that, this margin improvement that we've seen comes despite our performance in customer care, and I'll elaborate more on that, as we go into show, et cetera. But clearly the where our business is actually clicking in and the ones that we are investing and amplifying, these are coming in at decent margins and actually much improved margins than previous periods. But we still have ways to go in terms of being able to transform some of our businesses, which are core to us. And they, as we do that, as we get more selective, as we drive a much more predictable and sustainable, scalable business, and we have the foundation for it, I think we would be able to see the performance of that in future quarters.
Okay, maybe as a follow-up, in terms of, you know, transforming the business again, you know, as I think back to, you know, conversations that we previously had with Bob, for example, we've talked about, you know, centralizing the legacy, relatively distributed nature of the legacy ACS business. I mean, how far along from previous initiatives are we, and then how much more room is there to go within that organization in terms of increasing its efficiency? Maybe if you can get a, if we can just get a sense of, you know, your fresh take on the business and what's new in the way that you view it.
Yeah, so the good news is that, you know, this is not something that we've just decided or contemplated to do. This is in progress. So we've taken enough initiatives and more, if you will, on transforming the business. In some places, we've been effective. We clearly have a business which is very widespread, both from a the range of businesses that we do, the range of clients that we have, and the geographical spread. So we need to refocus ourselves on those things that we are really good at, amplify those and invest in them, and continue to drive the, through the strategic transformation initiative, drive this to success. But I think the important thing is to also understand that this is a not something that's going to happen overnight or in a few quarters. This is a transformation. It is going to transition over a period of time. And we will discuss the appropriate metric as we bridge from where we are to where we really want to be.
Thanks, Brian. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Frank Atkin from SunTrust. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I want to ask, Ashok, what are the major levers that you see you could pull to drive profitability going forward?
Well, I think the number one, of course, is, you know, we have to refocus on our delivery model. Customer care is a big part of what we do. Innovation in that, either through robotics and automation, is a key part of what we do. There are some internal processes and how we run ourselves, which we could use some of those similar processes and tools to make us much more effective and efficient. We have to look for businesses that will provide us profitable growth. We have to you know, exploit and monetize all the assets that we have within the company, and we have a ton of them which need to be deployed across the board. We have to look at businesses and segments and geographies which will help us meet those profitability goals. And in certain situations, we also have to sort of run off businesses that we're deliberately, you know, taking a view on running off.
Thanks, Frank. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Matt Cabral from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about the proposed Conduent balance sheet. I guess on my estimates, it looks like the business will start off with north of 3x gross leverage, which seems a little bit high relative to where some of the pure play BPO competitors are, and given the meaningful turnaround that this business faces going forward. So I guess what gives you the confidence that this is the right capital structure for Conduent going forward? And does this level of leverage still give you room to make either the organic or inorganic investments needed to transform this business ahead?
So, Matt, it's Brian. You know, as Ursula and Leslie both mentioned, we anticipate being a high non-investment grade rated company. We believe the leverage that we're starting with is manageable. We intend to improve the leverage over time through operational performance improvement. So again, you know, we will use cost transformation to create room to make organic investments, and the inorganic investments will be timed as we can afford them. But we believe that it's a manageable starting point.
Thank you. And then,
sorry, Matt, do you have another question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask one for Jeff more on the legacy Xerox business. I guess I wanted to ask around the USDA contract win that was mentioned in the prepared remarks. And first of all, does any help around the ramp of that contract? And then more just taking a step back and looking at that vertical in particular around U.S. Federal, was that a sort of opportunistic one-off win, or is that an area where there might be a little bit more of a robust pipeline particularly given the pending Lexmark acquisition that's out there?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Not specific to the Lexmark acquisition, but I think more of the USDA win. We're very strong in federal, very strong in public sector. Document outsourcing is a strong and really good business for us. We're the clear market leader, and we continue to see growth and strong margins in that business. It's an area of focused strategic importance to us, and you know, we had a good renewal rate. We continue to. We're very strong in the large enterprise sector. We're always focused on new logos and new customers, and this was a big part of that. In addition to that, we're going to apply that same expertise, if I can call it that, to the managed print services and the SMB sector as well, where we even have a lot more opportunity for growth there.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of Keith Bachman from BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Steve Schneiderman, pinch hitting for Keith today. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to direct this to Ashok. As we think about getting an update on the sales cycle, signings for the quarter were up about 15%. I understand this includes document outsourcing, but signings were down by about the same amount as you talked about trying to be more selective on profitable growth. My question is, where are we in this cycle in terms of churning out these low profit potential new deals and being able to, once again, being able to look at a more steady state to get signings growth?
Yeah, so from our signings growth perspective, we grew about 17%, and the bulk of that actually came from renewals. So that is actually good news. We have 8 out of our 10 BPO clients actually renewed with us. So obviously, whatever we're bringing to the party, our clients like, and they want to continue to do business with us. The area of concern, if you will, for us is new deal signings. That is down, and that is an area of focus. I called in my go-to-market team in October. We basically sat down to look at the opportunities in the market. In the spaces that we are strong in, there continues to be headroom for growth, and there are opportunities out there which we will selectively pick to drive a drive profitable growth.
Okay. Is this something you think can be resolved mid 2017, or is that about a little conservative or aggressive from that perspective?
I think it's difficult to put a timeline on this, but suffice it to say that we are intensely focused on driving revenue and driving new business growth, while at the same time continuing to respond to the trust our existing clients have placed in us by bringing innovative solutions to the table.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from a line of Jim Suva from Citigroup. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. I have two questions, and I'll ask them both at the same time. First of all, as you prepare for separation, and I'm sure the ERP or internal IT systems you have are preparing for, you know, with a lot of effort ahead of that, are you going to have a need to, say, meaningfully increase your inventory just to make sure that, you know, one system doesn't accidentally not talk to another system, or is that inventory management kind of already ironed out? And then my second question is on the Affordable Care Act and the election. There's been a lot of talk about that and such, as well as, you know, costs going up on that. Can you help us quantify what that means to Xerox, or do we know, or with costs going up, is that bad? Is that good? And really, is there no impact at all, or how should we think about the election and the Affordable Care Act of what's all going on in the news? Thank you.
So, Jim, I should take that. This is Ursula, even though I haven't spoken a lot today, and it's actually a good feeling. But I'll take this question. First, on the transition and inventory and how we're looking at that, we're entering something. I talked about this in my prepared remarks, a phase that we call soft separation. And the reason why that's important for investors is that it's a time that we can essentially practice, do a phased implementation of all of the complex separation activities and make sure that we don't stumble on when we're actually independent, including things like the inventory management systems. Independent of the soft separation, we would have very little problem with this area, but I think the soft separation makes it such that we can actually double and triple check there. So I wouldn't, we're not managing inventory any differently than we normally would at the end of the year. All we're doing is making sure that as we do a separation, we don't have any fumbles, which we don't expect. As far as cost and the impact, healthcare cost, the impact of ACA or any potential changes to ACA on our internal cost and the marketplace, we actually just don't see any. Internal cost, we'll manage our internal healthcare cost in the most efficient way possible. I mean, we are a good healthcare provider, payer of services for our clients, our customers. That won't change. And as far as the marketplace out there, we're not really seeing a big set of headwinds or change in the market dynamics because of any potential changes for ACA. I hope I answered both of your questions.
Thanks, Jim. Operator, I think we have time.
Thank you very much.
Operator, I think we have time for one last question.
Thank you. Our last question for the day is coming from the line of Jamie Friedman from Susquehanna. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. I just had a housekeeping question. Leslie, maybe if you could share with us what the time frame is from here. So I know you filed a Form 10 and then an amended Form 10. Is there another Form 10 coming? Maybe if you could just update us on the sequence as we go out.
Yeah, this is Brian. There will be an amendment to the Form 10 today, actually, and then we anticipate the Form 10 being effective in early November.
Okay, and what is the anticipated data separation?
End of the year is the anticipated data separation.
Right. As it has been from the time that we started.
Yep, I noticed. All right, thank you, Brian.
Great. Thanks, Jamie. I'm going to pass it back to Ursula for some closing comments.
So thank you for your questions. In the third quarter, we made steady progress against all three of our commitments, delivering on our 2016 financial goals, implementing our strategic transformation, and completing the separation by year end. We remain on track to achieve all three. We look forward to sharing more details about the two companies at our investor days. And thank you, everyone, for joining the call.
Thanks, Ursula. That concludes our call today. If you have further questions, please contact me or any member of our investor relations team.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for your participation. You may now disconnect at this time. Everyone, have a great day.